8th chapter. We'll be reading verses 31 and 32, and take our text out of that particular portion of Scripture. We're going to talk about what does a disciple look like. A disciple is one who is instructed or taught. A learner is one who professes to have learned certain principles from another and maintains them on that other's authority. So we would be a disciple learner. We've been instructed and taught of the Word of God, and we have learned the principles of the Lord, of Lord God, from the Word of God, and so it's on that authority that we stand, on the authority of the Word of God as learners and as disciples of Jesus Christ. John 8:31 says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." He never encouraged his disciples to place confidence in the mere fact of past faith or experience. It's only as we continue in his word that confidence in salvation is warranted. You can't just live on past experience. You continue in the word. You continue in the word. A disciple continues in the word. Genuine disciples obey the words of Christ. Genuine disciples will obey the word of God. Genuine. Amen? And that's the truth? You obey the word of God. As we seek to walk as disciples of Jesus this afternoon, we're going to look at five basic principles to help us stay on the right path. What does a disciple look like? Number one, discipleship means that you work and the Holy Spirit works in you. You work and the Holy Spirit works in you. It's by faith you're saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. But Paul said, "I'll show you my faith by my works. I'll show you I have faith in Christ by what I do for him, because I love him. I'm a disciple of Christ, so I'm going to do something for him. I'm going to obey his word for first and foremost. I'm going to live for him. I'm going to do what I can for him. I'm going to move beyond study and beyond mere understanding and apply the word. I'm going to apply the word in my life, and I'm going to do what he asked me to do." Colossians 1, verses 9 and 10. It says, "For this cause, also since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." So if we break that down, we're to be filled with the knowledge of God. A true disciple does what he can to continue growing in Christ and being filled with more knowledge of the things of God. We can't be satisfied with status quo, satisfied with what we knew last year or last week or yesterday. We want to know more about God, go deeper in his word so that we can have greater spiritual understanding. You can't know, and I'm going to say this, you'll never know everything about God. We're just not able. But I think you can grow in the Lord, and things will be revealed to you as you grow in him. And there's be some simple things sometime that all of a sudden will be illuminated to your spirit or to your mind, and you say, "Oh, I never seen that before. I never reckoned." So you grow daily. So you grow spiritually daily. You grow into spiritual understanding. You walk worthy. The scripture, you break it down, you say you walk worthy of the Lord to please him in all pleasing. And a person who's growing in God, who's praying, who's seeking God, who's growing in the knowledge of his will, will walk worthy. You'll shun the appearance of evil. You'll know what evil is. It'll be revealed to you, and some things won't even have to be revealed by the Spirit. You'll just you'll just know. You just know. You just know. It may look right, and it may seem right, but you know it's not right. You know it's not. If it may be right for somebody, it's not right for you. You just know it because you're walking worthy and you're filled with the knowledge of His will and with wisdom and spiritual understanding so that you can walk worthy of the Lord. So you understand how to do that. And so you walk pleasing to the Lord. And you're fruitful and you're fruitful. If you're walking pleasing, you'll be fruitful. Brother Ryder did a really great job, and Haley Gale coming along behind him a year or so ago and did something about John the 15, I believe it is, somewhere in there about the fruit, bearing fruit. And a real disciple of Jesus Christ bears fruit, much fruit. And we're pruned at times, but it says those branches who don't bear are cut off and cast into a fire. God wants you and I to bear fruit, to be fruit producing vines. And so we need to understand that and walk pleasing and be fruitful as we increase in the knowledge of God. Then we are strengthened. Each of us can be strengthened with might, with His might, and grow up into Him. We have His glorious power available in our lives. We have the Holy Ghost. We're sometimes lacking in our spiritual power. We are lacking, I should say, of course some won't agree, but lacking oftentimes in our spiritual power in our Pentecostal churches because we don't delve into the Spirit anymore. We don't pray till we talk in tongues anymore. We don't encourage people to get filled with the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in tongues any longer. We're satisfied with status quo. We're satisfied with last year's experience or 5 years ago's experience or the shout we had back when Grandma used to shout. But I think it's time that the Pentecostal church, this church, Countryside Pentecostal Church of God, that we go back to our roots and we begin again to dig deeper and delve deeper into the things of God and allow God then to move to move and have His will in our lives as we seek Him, as we go deeper in Him, as the Holy Ghost begins to work in and through us so that we can have a shouting time every now and then. We can have a Holy Ghost breakdown every now and then where people just talk in tongues all over the building and just raise their hands in worship. They're not ashamed any longer. Well, we got to get back to that. We lost it quite some time ago. Got easy, got happy with what we have. Come to church and talked to my brother just the other day. He's down in Spiro over in that area, and he's got a church of about 25 people, and it's just about like this. It's just everybody's happy with what they got and just satisfied, and nobody wants to go any deeper. Nobody wants to do anything different. Nobody wants to, they just don't want to grow up any bigger or what they are, and they're just satisfied with the church they've got, and it's doing okay. But I tell you, church, there's got to be more. We got to have desire to do more. A disciple wants to grow, and a disciple wants others to grow with them, and a disciple wants people to get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and full of the power of God. So I guess I'm convicting myself today. That's okay. We need something. Something's got to change. So I was telling my brother, something's got to change. Something's got to change. I'm tired of doing church on Sundays the same way every Sunday. I'm not tired of you people, but I'm tired of looking at you and preaching and not seeing anything happen. Nobody want to move to the altar? Oh, can I say it? Go ahead and say it, preacher. Nobody wants to testify? Scared to death? You're going to say something in front of somebody else. If you can't testify as a disciple of Jesus in front of the other disciples of Jesus, let me tell you something. You're going to have a problem testifying before that world that's lost and undone, going to make fun of you. Ooh, you didn't have to say that, did you, preacher? I wasn't planning on it. It's not in my notes. Most of everything I said recently hadn't been in my notes. Church, we got to change. It's 2018. We're going to press on. We're going to change. Let God do something in our lives. I know some of you don't think you need the Holy Ghost, but I think you do. I know you do. Just afraid of what God might ask you to do. I've seen people get so full of the power of God in one service, and the next service you couldn't get them off the back pew because they experienced something in God, and they was afraid because they had experienced that God was going to ask something more of them than what they were willing to give. Make them take another step. And they wanted the power. They wanted the feeling. But they didn't want to have to move forward in Jesus and do more for Him. Scared to death He's going to ask them to do something that they just... If He asks you to do it, He'll empower you to do it. So we got to take this knowledge and put it to use every day. What He's told us here in Colossians 1, 9 and 10. It comes from prayer. It'll come from Bible study. It'll come from fellowship with Him. I encourage you to pray every day. I encourage you to get in your Bible and read it every day. And if you can't understand it, slow down. Get you some kind of reference. I've been saying this to you. Find out what it really means. Get you another version if you have to that'll break or work. Get you in. I don't like NIV that well, but every once in a while it works out pretty good because it explains it a little better than what my King James does. King James doesn't break it down to our language anymore. I've got several versions in there I look at. I look at the New International every once in a while. I look at the New King James. I look at the King James. I like King James. I read it more than I do any. I've got a English Standard Version that breaks it down. I've got an Amplified Bible that really breaks it down. It'll help you understand what the Word of God means. If you don't know what a word is, look it up. See what it is. Well, but dictionary doesn't have it, Pastor. They have what they call the Vines Expository Dictionary. They have what they call the Strong's Concordance. They'll tell you what those words mean. Dig it out. Find out what the word means. And then fellowship with Him when you pray. Pray and seek God and let God speak to you. You see, knowledge that we need to put to use comes only when we as true disciples are constantly seeking His will, we're abiding in the vine, and we're abiding in His Word. I won't grow if I don't read the Word. I can go back and pull sermons from 10 years ago. You'll never realize I was repeating one. But I'm not growing if I continue to do that. Now, I go through spells. I have to do that every now and then. We get real busy and things going on, and I'll go back and I'll find something, I'll revise it a little bit, and I'll re-preach it to you. Fact is, I preached this on 1st 15, 2003, and I preached it on Sunday, 7-24, 2011. And I'm preaching again today, and it's totally different than what it was when I preached it the last time. Nothing wrong with that. But I've got to study to show myself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. I have to study and get into the Word of God so that I might present to you something that will be beneficial to your spiritual well-being that will help you grow up in the Lord. This here will help you if you'll follow what the Word of God says. And you need to grow in knowledge of His will and wisdom and spiritual understanding. And you'll do something for Him. Philippians 1:9. Paul said, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all judgment." That you not just grow up in love, but it abounds in knowledge. You're learning more about God. Not happy what you had last year. Knowledge here is a spiritual knowing in the heart, not merely head knowledge. We need to know that we know that we know that we know that we know that this is what the Word of God says. This is what it means. This is how it applies to my life. And this is what I'm going to do with it. I'm going to work it. I'm going to work it into my life. I'm going to use it. It involves a personal relationship with God rather than intellectually knowing mere facts about God. You can't. I know about God, but I need to know God. And you do too. I know about electricity. You know about as much as I know about that. Better turn the breaker off before you change a plug or you might get shocked. I don't know much about it. I know enough to change a plug and a light bulb. Few things. I know more than I did 25 years ago because when I started building, we started building this church, I had to learn some stuff. But I'm still scared of it. But I ain't scared of God. And He's more than just a switch you flip. He's our God. I need to know Him, not just facts about Him, but I need to know Him. And then I need to make Him known. Number two, discipleship starts at the core of your being, provides you with supernatural, God-given power to obey Christ's teaching. When it starts at the core of your being, you get saved, born again, filled with the Spirit of God, it gives you supernatural, God-given power to obey His teaching. That's what God does. Well, I just don't know if I can do it. Well, then you're calling God a liar, because God gives you, at your very core, supernatural ability to obey His teaching. When you say, I can't do it, you're saying God's a liar. We read over there this morning that God's not a liar, and that He'll do it. If He says it, He'll do it. He says He'll give you power to grow, power to witness, power to be a disciple. He'll do it. Because He's God. Eugene Peterson wrote, discipleship is anything that causes what is believed in the heart to have demonstrable consequences in our daily life. You see, what we believe will have consequences. It'll show up in the way you live. Show up in the way you treat others, the way you act. Instead of acting out, you'll act right. Instead of being angry at that Walmart checker because they didn't get right on your stuff, you'll be patient and kind and understanding and long-suffering. Amen? Obedience out of love for Jesus produces a life of ever-increasing maturity. And we need to grow up in the Lord. We'll not be easily swayed on the doctrine of the Bible. If we really get in the Word, we know the Word, there's nobody going to sway us on what it means. I can have people tell me they don't believe the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues is necessary today, and I'll tell them it's absolutely necessary. You're not going to change my mind. One man tried to change me to oneness one time. Said, you don't need to believe. You need to believe God is one. Holy God, the Father's, you know. And he started sending me literature. And I finally called him up. I said, sir, now you stop sending me your junk. What? I said, I don't want no more of your stuff. I'm not going to study it. You're not going to change me. I'm Trinity. I'll always be Trinity. And I'll always believe you're wrong. You won't change me. So quit wasting your time. Quit wasting my time. He'd call, won't talk to me. He'd send me stuff and trying to sway me to change over to oneness doctrine. I said, I'm not changing. I'm Trinitarian through and through. You'll never change me from that. Just the way it is. I believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's how I baptize. That's all I believe. You won't change. I believe it's a cardinal doctrine of the Bible. You can't change me. Come on, so you don't get to that point, nobody can change you. I believe speaking in tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. You can tell me it's not for today, and you'll never change my mind because I do it. And it's not just some ecstatic, I just get overtaken in my spirit, and you know what I mean? Just something I can't control. I can control it. What? Yes, you can. Paul said, I pray in the Spirit and I pray in tongues. I pray both ways. I like praying in the Spirit. If the phone rings, I can stop it right there. I'm not just overtaken by it that I can't quit. Come on now. You'll never convince me it's not real. So we know that these truths are true, and you can't change us because we're in the Word of God, and nobody's going to change our mind. He's working in us, and we constantly grow up in Him. Where am I at? Lost my place. I had to start over. No, I found it. Say praise the Lord. Well, Barbara's on one, don't want me to start over, so we took a vote. Okay, go back to your Bibles. We won't be so offended by the preaching of the true Word if we're real disciples of God and we're grounded in the Word of God. The Word of God won't offend us. It might stomp all over our toes. It may bruise us up a little bit. It may change our minds. It may dig us out, but it will not offend us because it's the Word of God. So you won't be easily offended. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 says, though we walk after the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of Christ, the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Our weapons are powerful because they come from They are spiritual and they come from God. So we have all the power we need to be a victorious disciple of Jesus Christ, because our weapons are not carnal weapons. They are spiritual weapons, and if we use these weapons, we'll be victorious in our walk with God. Look at Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. And it says, put on the whole armor of God. We all know that. We've read this many times, so that you can stand against the wiles, the devices of the devil. The spirits, there's a spiritual, so you, as you are engaged in spiritual conflict, can stand. It goes on to end up having done all to stand. So you put on the whole armor of God, because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. So you take the armor of God so that you can stand against the devil. What's wrong with the church? We don't put on the armor of God so we can't stand against the devil. We take it off, put it in the closet somewhere. Get it out of the closet. Put it back on. We need our loins girt about with truth. We need the breastplate of righteousness. We need our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We need the shield of faith, where we can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. We need the helmet of salvation. We need the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Well, get them out. Put them on. Use these weapons of our warfare that are not carnal weapons, and we'll be victorious. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8. Well, there it is. And it simply says this, but let us who are of the day be sober. Put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God didn't appoint you to wrath, but unto salvation. Come on, church, put on these things. Use these things. They're yours. You don't have to requisition them. They're already at your disposal. You just have to go get them and use them. Put them on and use them. And you'll be a good disciple of Christ. And you'll be an overcoming disciple of Christ. And you'll be a victorious disciple of Jesus Christ. And you'll accomplish great things in the name of Christ if you'll do what He's asked us to do, instead of just being satisfied. Just being satisfied. So growing as a disciple, point three, is not always easy. It's not always easy. Fact is, it's often hard. Oddly, however, the trials you face will result in peace, joy, hope, and ultimately it'll cause you to grow closer with Christ. Now, if you're a true disciple of Christ, it will cause you to draw closer to Christ, these trials. The trying of your faith worketh patience, the Bible says. So if you're really a disciple of Christ, really in love with Jesus, when you go through these things, you won't start blaming God. You will draw closer to God. You won't get angry at God. You will understand that these are things that everybody goes through as they grow in Christ, and you'll draw closer to Him because you know your hope is in Him. Your faith is in Him and your hope is in Him. So you're not going to withdraw from your help. You're not going to take the armor off. You're not going to lay it aside. You're going to buckle up. Have your loins girt about. You're going to put all this armament on. You're going to take the sword of Spirit, which is the Word of God, and you're going to apply it to your life so that you can grow up in the Lord, and so you can be a growing disciple instead of someone who constantly taking two steps back and a baby step forward. I mean, I understand this morning said take two steps forward and two steps back and just keep on pressing. But I understand sometimes if we're not careful, we're not doing it because we're in a trial. We're doing it because we are lazy. Because we don't want to fight the fight. And we've laid aside the weapons of our warfare, which are not carnal weapons, and we've refused to use the spiritual things and weapons that are at our disposal, and so we're not growing, we're instead happy not to grow. Romans 5, verses 3 through 5 says, and not only so, but we glory, Paul said, in tribulations. Know that tribulations work patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Woo! That's good stuff. So we go in these things, knowing that if these tribulations, these trials, this situation that we're facing, brings patience. Helps us endure. And this patience will bring experience that we know that we know that we know that no matter what we go through, God's going to bring us through. So that worketh experience. We know that God's going to do it. God's going to bring us through. And experience then gives us hope. The next time we go through a trial, hey, I know that God's going to bring me through this one too. I have hope in that. And it's true faith hope. I know I'm going to bring through it. And hope makes not ashamed. Hope makes not ashamed because the love of God's been shed abroad in our hearts. Isn't that exciting? That you can live for God and go through no matter what it is, and you can continue to grow as a disciple because His hope making not ashamed and His love has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. We got so much working for us. We got so much going for us. It's a shame when you back out on God or even think about it. And disciples, number four, realize they don't need to be constantly maintaining, that they do need to constantly maintain their pursuit. Just like this morning, I talked about it for an hour, 45 minutes. Spiritual growth and help and health happen daily as we maintain our pursuit of God. It's sort of like a consistent exercise program and diet that makes your body healthier. The exercise regimen consists of daily, our exercise regimen, spiritual exercise regimen, consists of daily Bible study and prayer combined with an intense love for God that results in prolonged prayer time that brings true intimacy with Him. See, the closer you get, the more you do it. It's sort of like changing your lifestyle. The more you do it, the easier it gets and the more you like it because you see the changes. I've been on a modified diet for about 10 weeks now. I've lost 18 pounds. But I'm not using sugar. I'm not eating sweets. I've did away with the soda pops. Well, I've been drinking a few diet, but you don't understand. I've done away with the sweets in my life and I kiss her once in a while. But anyway, well, you can't totally give away, give it all up. But the more I do it, the easier it is, and the more consistent I get with it, and the less it bothers me. Plus, there's results in that, is that my clothes are fitting better. I got a belt I bought 4 years ago, and I could only get I bought it too small, thinking I'd lose weight, and it took me 4 years, and I finally got it where I got it up, six holes up in it now, or something like that. It's like, wow. And I'm sleeping better at night. I don't have the sleep problems that I was having. I'm not waking my wife up snoring or not breathing anymore. You know, she's getting a full night's sleep, not worrying about me not dying in my sleep. There's benefits to it. There's benefits to serving God. Maintaining your pursuit of God. There's benefits in it. And you'll get better at resisting sin, shunning the appearance of evil, crucifying the flesh. You'll get better at it. It'll come easier, be more natural. And you'll see the benefits of it and say, oh, all right, I need to keep doing this because there are spiritual benefits. So you keep doing it. 1 Timothy 4:7-8 says, refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness, for bodily exercise profiteth little. Now, I got that underlined about everywhere I go. No, I'm just kidding. But bodily exercise profiteth little. So the Bible says don't exercise. It don't really mean that, but that's the way you can take it, can't you? The Bible says not to exercise. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of life, that is, that which is to come. Church, we need to understand, we need to exercise spiritually every single day. And by the way, doing walking or riding bike or doing something ain't going to hurt you a bit and might very well help you. It's just hard to do it. And if I start walking, I've got to see results real quick. And I mean something more than sore feet. I got to start seeing the weight drop off where it's like, why am I doing this? You know? Why am I working my time doing this? And lastly, as you allow the Holy Spirit to continue working in your life, you'll see obvious outward signs. If you don't see obvious outward signs, then examine whether you've done the work of gathering the knowledge to be a disciple. Examine yourself. When we take communion like we did last week, one of the commandments of the Lord is to examine or judge yourself before you take it. If we would do that, we would be so much better off. To examine ourselves, because if we're really doing what the Lord's asked us to do and the Holy Spirit is working in our lives, there will be obvious outward signs. Your family will see a difference in you. Those are everybody you come, people come in contact with you will see a difference in you. They'll understand that there's something different about you. There's a change come over you. And they'll see you growing up in the Lord. They may not like it. They may try to persuade you not to get any stronger in the Lord. They may even criticize you for it. But don't give in to the criticism. And so see whether you've opened yourself up to let God make the knowledge a part of you, His knowledge a part of your daily life. There'll be fruit. Fruit will be evident if you do. Now let's look at that. If you go to Galatians, the fifth chapter, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, and then I'll close here shortly. It says the fruit of the Spirit is love. If you really growing up in the Lord, you're maintaining your pursuit, you're growing as a disciple, you've done these things that you're supposed to do, then the fruit of the Spirit will be evident. That will be love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. And it goes on to say, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts thereof. Affections and lusts, it don't say thereof. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So there's things that will be evident in your life, and you'll be walking in the Spirit of God because you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. And then Colossians, the third chapter, the 12th verse, says this, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, as a disciple of Christ, holy and beloved, vows of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If you have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, also do ye. And above all, put on charity or love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. There it is in a nutshell. These things will be evident in your life if you're growing in the Lord. You'll practice these things, and then when you fail to do it, you will repent of it. These things are very important. And so you need to ask yourself whenever you do anything, can it be done to the glory of God? Can it be done in the name of the Lord? Can it be done while sincerely giving thanks to God? Is it a Christ-like action? Will it weaken the sincere convictions of other Christians? Will it weaken my desire for spiritual things of God? Ask yourself those questions. Will it weaken my desire for God's word and prayer? Will it weaken and hinder my witness? If it will, don't do it. We don't ask ourselves that stuff. We just hop off there and just do it. So, well, God understands. He does understand, and He is a forgiving God. But He also gives us the tools at our disposal so that we won't have to disappoint Him, and we can grow up as disciples of Jesus Christ. That's what we want you to do here at Countryside, is to become a true disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm assuming, and I'm pretty confident, that most of you are. Perhaps all of you that are here today, you're doing